Leah isn't trans to be more of their authentic self. They're trans because it's a sexual turn-on. He gets a sexual response or arousal from cross-dressing.
All right, so it looks like we're going to have a conversation about none other than Leah Thomas all over again. Let's get into it. Hi, guys, and welcome to Unapologetic Live. I'm your host, Amala Vinobi. We have Taylor over in Nashville.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. And we have Scott, who's back.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
And if you haven't seen Scott in a while, it's because he had a little baby girl.
I did. A beautiful little baby girl.
Oh, that is wonderful. Congratulations. And leave Scott congratulations in the comments down below, because obviously that is a big, big deal. First kid.
Yes, first definitely, kid. Definitely. It's a... It's a flood of emotion and everything. And,
yeah.
Not much sleep.
It's a whole journey. Yeah. It's a whole journey. Yeah. Now, before we get into today's subject matter, which is circling back and talking about Leah Thomas, you know, the NCAA swimmer who was a man, but now identifies as a woman and is beating out women in the league every time he/she competes. Anyways, before we get into that, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That is Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And I will say, we've had a rough go of things. Scott hasn't gotten any sleep because he has a baby girl. Yeah. Taylor and I just flew in from Eugene, Oregon this morning because we spent all of yesterday with none other than famous bow hunter Cameron Haynes filming a day in his life, which involved hiking up a mountain, it involved an ice bath, it involved archery, it involved an upper body workout that I was subjected to that I'm still feeling to this day. And Taylor came around as the cameraman and he's still feeling it this morning as well. So he's having a fun time.
Yeah. So everyone on this show has been up since 3 o'clock in the morning today for different reasons, but
yeah,
this should be pretty wild, pretty interesting, and we're all digging very deep to keep hammering, as Ken Haynes like to say, and bring our A game even through the adversity.
Yeah, I'll say Taylor and I's excuses are much more profound than Scott's. So
yeah, I'm a little woobly for other reasons.
Yeah. So let's circle back and talk about Leah Thomas. You all know Leah Thomas because you heard about a trans swimmer who was dominating the female league of swimming and the NCAA, came in and was ranking, you know, in the 400s as a man, transitioned to be a female, and was, you know, beating out all the women, chilling in their locker rooms, having a grand old time. But as we look further into this story, not only are we finding out that there are some chinks in the armor as far as self-identifying as trans and the reasons for which somebody would do that, but Leah Thomas has some creepy skeletons in the closet, or really not so much in the closet. They're really all out there on social media, and somebody has managed to find them, collect them, and compile them for us to talk about today. And I want to get into this not just to, you know, shame Leah Thomas and talk about his or her past and all the motivations they have for identifying as a trans person today, but to have a broader conversation about what this means for women's safety, what it means for women's sports, and what this ideology looks like when it moves to full capacity, which means in other facets of society, we start to accept this ideology and allow people who self-identify as women to do whatever it is they like. And the story here with Leah Thomas starts with Riley Gaines, who is also an NCAA biological female swimmer, who had something to say about an experience that she and her fellow teammates had with Leah Thomas when at competition. Let's hear it from her.
I was in the locker room, obviously putting my suit on, and all of a sudden it got dead silent. I turn around. I mean, this person's towering over every other person in the locker room, drops the clothes, full male, like a fully intact male with male genitalia. And almost subconsciously, you just cover. Like, just a subconscious inherent feeling when you see a male with male parts watching you undress.
Hmm. That's funny. And not funny, haha, funny weird. Funny like it shouldn't be happening. Funny like biological men should not be allowed in female spaces. And we talked about this before. I put out a video about a guy who's actually getting charged for indecent exposure for having gone into a YMCA saying, I identify as female. And then, you know, just flashing it and showing it to every woman and child that ends up going in the locker room or in the women's facility at the YMCA. And I see no reason why it should not be the very same for Leah Thomas. And if you can't go after the person who's doing it, you should go after the institution that is allowing this to happen. And that would be the NCAA. What woman would knowingly and willingly want to be in a women's changing facility with a grown man? And I don't know if the lines are getting blurred here because we're looking maybe at Leah Thomas, and Leah Thomas has, you know, some long hair like pictured in this video. But y'all take a look at Taylor and Scott. We got two grown white men on this show right now.
Look at him.
are you ladies watching thinking, you know what? That's exactly what I want to see when I go into the women's changing room. Is that something that you should expect? And if your answer is yes, don't answer honestly. Why? Now, We're seeing this happen, and of course, it begs the question, okay, it's women's changing room, it's women's sports. Some people will say, I don't care about women's sports, whatever, let the athletes advocate for themselves. But what about instances where, you know, we don't have advocacy? Maybe women's prisons, where now transgender inmates, meaning men who identify as female, are being placed in female facilities. And that's, of course, running its natural course. Women are getting raped, they're engaging in consensual sex with transgender inmates. And then what else is happening? Babies are being brought about in the prison system. So just think about other examples that fall outside of sports where this is completely unacceptable. And then maybe think about young women who are just trying to go to the gym or the YMCA or compete in a swim meet and have to go to the locker room and be faced with this. It's not something that we should expect. And in looking further into Leah Thomas, who has skyrocketed in a meteoric rise to fame, having joined the female swim league and is competing against the swimmers, you know, her story was, I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for trans empowerment. I'm doing this because this is how I identify. I truly am a woman on the inside. I think, therefore, I am, and you should allow me to do whatever it is that I want. Now, come to find out, there is a different story coming to light. And shout outs to Feminist Recovery for posting this video in particular. Also, shout out to Crane & Company at Daily Wire for highlighting this story through their interview with Riley Gaines, that other female swimmer. I just want to take a look at this Instagram post in this video that breaks down some of the activity that Leah Thomas is engaging in online, as well as the activity of Leah Thomas's significant other, which, guys, I'm going to drop a bomb on you here. Leah Thomas is dating another trans female. So we have a man who identifies as a woman who's dating another man who identifies as a woman. And I guess that makes them lesbians, guys. Is that how that works? Is that woke math? 2 + 2 = 5?
I would think so. I am lost at this point. I mean, I have no words for that.
We're all swimming through the bullshit on these stories, much like Leah Thomas. Now, let's watch this video and see what this woman has uncovered about Leah Thomas and Leah Thomas's significant other.
Newly released photos of Leah Thomas indicate that he has castrated himself, and he waited until after the swim season, after he was an All-American, and after the FINA ruling said he cannot compete into the Olympics, to go ahead and do this surgery. And the announcement was made with these emojis and comments like this. Can I just say that
flawless beauties
and flawless is like, gosh, a joke you make about a dog, not a human. But actually, Leah castrating himself is not the strange part of this story. While we were working to verify this story, we learned more about Leah than we ever wanted to know. I apologize in advance for what you're about to see. Leah's smart. All the pictures he posts about himself are squeaky clean. However, the photos he likes, the photos he's tagged in by friends, and the accounts he associates with tell a very different story about a very different Leah. His online interactions indicate that he gets sexually aroused by dressing up as a woman. And his online activity is sprinkled with contempt for women left and right. But I'm going to give you the examples and you decide. See, Leah likes posts about having sexual fetishes for cross-dressing, like this. He likes posts about how his friends get together and have trans orgies. He likes posts about physically beating women. More than once, by the way. Do you remember Fallon Fox, that trans boxer that broke a woman's skull open and then bragged about it? Well, here's him bragging about it online, and Leah liked the post. And here's Leah liking the defense.
The caption on that post literally said, "Me crushing other women's skulls." It's got a strong like from Leah Thomas on it.
Well, that part is so insane because the crux of the controversy around what Leah Thomas has been his ability to defeat women in sports and having an unfair advantage on that. So for him to like this other trans athlete's post that brags of crushing women's skulls is so on the nose. I don't even know what words you could use to describe it. It's completely insane. It validates everyone's concerns that, you know, because the whole time he's kind of cast himself as sort of a victim or just like, hey, I'm just trying to be my true self and all this. But then when you're liking posts of a male athlete bragging about beating females, literally physically beating them, when you're in the center of controversy about defeating females in your sport, it's very on the nose and very telling as to how much you're really concerned about, you know, being your true self versus, you know, doing this for selfish reasons. And, you know, it's just a really, really bad look.
But they'll always be able to bob and weave themselves out of this, no pun intended, because they will quite literally say, well, I identify as a woman. You know, there are other biological women that fight other women all the time, as this post emphasizes. Look at other women who have had their skulls opened up by biological women. I'm just a man coming in and doing the same thing with more force and more strength. I should be able to do what all these other biological women are doing. It's just a complete disregard for science. It's a complete disregard for biology. It's a complete disregard for women's rights, which is something that we all claim to be wanting to uphold in today's day and age of equality and radical feminism and the modern feminist movement. And look at it simply being disregarded, not only in competition, but in safety and in wanting to be have your own space and be safe from harm, but also in this caricature of the female identity, that if you are a biological man who grows out your hair and neuters yourself, that makes you a woman, and that somehow makes you open to the female experience and the experience of womanhood, and that is by no means true, no matter what you do to yourself. And I say this with really the utmost sympathy for people who actually go through this struggle, and we'll get into a conversation as to whether or not Leah Thomas is even one of those people. You're not going to take on the full experience of womanhood. I know that might be a desire that people have, a want that people have, but we can also acknowledge that it's not quite possible. Now, let's look at other social media activity that Leah Thomas is engaging in.
Another time of breaking a woman's skull open. Here's another post that Leah liked. And if you don't speak trans acronyms, please allow me to break this down for you. This reference to AGP means Leah isn't trans to be more of their authentic self. They're trans because it's a sexual turn-on.
That's autogynephilia is what that is called, for those of you who missed that. But you get sexual arousal from the perception of being a woman and engaging in activities that make you more womanly.
A sexual response or arousal from cross-dressing. He also likes a lot of photos of other men cross-dressing. I mean, a lot. A lot, a lot, a lot. A lot. You can pause if you want. A lot of photos of men cross-dressing. And he interacts with a lot of accounts about sexploration. I'm not going to show most of those. He even likes photos of his friend practicing paganism or Satanism. And here's his boyfriend who drew Satan with chains around
a certain area down south. So you guys can interpret that how you will. I don't think I have to do that for you.
Their necks. I'm going to let you completely draw your own conclusion on that one. That's, you decide. He also likes a lot of crass pornographic cartoons, most of which I will not show here. And he has an entire wall of his bedroom dedicated to sex toys. Extreme sex toys. I mean, ball gags and whips and chains and harness. You can see. He's built a sex dungeon with his boyfriend who claims that he's only in open relationships. Which, it makes sense if you're into trans orgies, honestly. And look, if this was just about his personal life and his preference as a gay man and his fetishes, we would have just left it there. But it's not. Leah represents what it means to be an all-American. He has lobbied to be in the women's locker room on the basis that he feels like a woman, not because he has any sexual arousal. He presents himself as a squeaky, clean athlete with no ulterior motive. But parents deserve to know there is a darkness about allowing any man into the locker room that claims that they just feel like they should be there. The evidence of him having sexual fetishes abounds. This is a sexual fantasy being played out. And too many moms are wheeling in this Trojan horse into women's locker rooms in the name of compassion, in the name of inclusivity, not realizing that that horse is really just kink and perversion with a big, beautiful bow on it. What Leah has done to his own body is incredibly sad. To obsess over your body to the point where you feel the need to castrate yourself is tragic. The reasons he's done this are at best very sad, and at worst, it's far more sinister and far more perverted.
So let's just have a little pause there. And I get from a compassionate, sympathetic perspective, you're thinking, these people are really struggling. They're struggling with their identity. What can I do to make them feel more at home? Wouldn't allowing them into women's spaces be something that might be helpful to this person? But to that, I say, at what expense? And at whose expense? And I think it's pretty clear here from the stories of Riley Gaines, this swimmer who's come out and said, this has been my experience. I don't want men in my locker room, a place that I've been comfortable, a place where I've managed to, you know, be vulnerable with other women and share this experience of being involved in a sport. And, you know, women's sports don't really often get their watches or their place all that often. So don't really have much to go on at baseline. And now we're allowing men to not only enter the space and compete in the space, but make other women uncomfortable with being there. Riley even goes into a story about competing against Leah Thomas and luckily coming through with a draw or a tie in the swimming race. And when given awards, they had one award to give out, and they said, ah, well, if we're looking at the two of you, Leah gets the award because, you know, we got to get the photos of Leah Thomas, the biological man, being awarded what is not rightfully theirs whatsoever. All of this at the expense of women. It's just insane. It's just insane. Taylor, what sport are you going to compete in as a woman, you know, next season?
Well, after watching you yesterday and watching Cam Haynes shoot a bow twice as far as you, I might go with archery. You set the women's record yesterday. I mean, spoiler alert, you're going to see this in our video that comes out in a few weeks. But I almost set the women's record for Cam's bow hunting or archery place, and almost shot the farthest bow. And then Cam drove us back double Amala's distance, and on his second try, he nailed the same target that took Amala, you know, 10 or 15 tries to hit from half a distance.
I did 49 anyways, yards, and then fishing. Cam's like, okay, let's go do a 105 really quickly. And he takes a shot, and he immediately just bangs him up. So... And this is what you'll find in nearly every sport. I'm trying to think of a sport that doesn't have that gender divide to it. Maybe like sharpshooting. Things that have to do purely with your optical acuity and things like that. I imagine those don't have...
Some darts, maybe.
Darts? You know, that's... Okay. Maybe we can be on a level playing field for those types of things. But nearly every other sport has a clear and distinct divide between men and women because we just have different capacities. And we should be able to acknowledge that. But not only now in the modern day can you not acknowledge that, we also must let men who clearly have fetishes and sexual kinks towards the sort of activities that they're engaging in, we must be privy to those activities, and we must allow that to happen around us. And even now, what, you can't kink shame people, right? So, and I have to say, you know, disclaimer, I'm not kink shaming Leah Thomas. I'm just saying you shouldn't have to force these unknowing female swimmers to be the victims of this sort of thinking of autogynephilia. And also, we need to, you know, pull the wool off our eyes here, because this person's lying to you. They're saying this is all about identity. They're saying it's all about feeling more at home. And they are trying to appeal to that ethos that we all have, to want to make people feel better, to want to allow people to belong, and to want them to be a part of our community in our spaces. And they are appealing to that in order to manipulate you into gratifying their sexual fetishes. Can you think of like a more disgusting thing to do? And people will say, oh, well, maybe that's just one example. But we've got it in the New Jersey prisons. We've got it in the California prisons now. We've got it in We Spa in LA, where that whole thing happened of a man flashing the young girls and women there. We got it in the YMCA case that just happened of a guy indecently exposing himself to women. And when women go and say, hey, you know what? I think I've just been a victim of a crime, which we've been encouraging women to do with hashtag Me Too and hashtag Time's Up and all these major movements for the sexual revolution and for standing up for women's rights. When women finally do raise their hands and go, wait a minute, I think I've been victimized here. I think something wrong just happened to me. What do they get told? Well, at the YMCA, the young woman who came to the front desk and tried to tell the attendant what she had just seen, she was told, no, you didn't. That's a biological woman. You did not see a man and his genitalia. A man did not expose himself to you. That was a woman. So this is how we treat victims.
Yeah, and it's just so confusing because you get into like the part of this new revelation, what the conversation that it opens up is like, you know, okay, is Leah Thomas not a trans person under false pretenses, or like a not a real trans person because their transition is seemingly motivated by a sexual fetish rather than, you know, genuinely identifying as a woman or feeling, you know, more comfortable at living as like he's a man trapped in a woman's body. And, you know, how do you even parse out like whatever trans is, whatever constitutes that? Like, we don't have like hard objective ways to put that in so solidly in a category, but what is real, mm-hmm. is the harm that's being done to the women who have to go along with this, whatever his motives are. That's real. The harm that they experience, the vulnerability that they feel having to be shoved in a locker room with somebody who's liking violent and weird and creepy stuff on Instagram and has all these fetishes and stuff, and he's standing in front of you naked and with male genitalia, and you're like, that's real harm that's being done. That's a real vulnerability that they're experiencing, not to mention the other athletes who competed for the same scholarships that he was awarded, and the other athletes who competed for Women of the Year Award and could have been deserving of those honors or to be nominated for that by the University of Pennsylvania. All those are very real, tangible harms, and those are the same way that we cite the We Spa incident and women's prisons and things. We know real harms are happening. And so before we start legislating, making policies, setting in, our institutions around the assumption that no, we must acknowledge the reality of this person's feelings about themselves, we don't know how to adjudicate all that, but we do know that we are sacrificing real women's experiences on the altar of this other person's feeling. And that to me is the cut and dry part of this.
Yeah, it just, I don't know how much further this is going to go. Obviously, it's going to go further because we're sort of in this snowball effect of it's just piling and piling and piling and piling and piling, and nothing yet has truly been done to stop it. Although a shout out to all the people who are speaking out about this. Shout out to Riley Gaines, who is a very brave female swimmer in this case, who is coming out and saying, you know what, this is not okay, and probably at much harm to her career in the sport. Shout out to Bethany Hamilton, who came out, who you all probably know and are familiar with from Soul Surfer and being the surfer who got her arm bit off by a shark. And she's coming out and saying, you know what, I'm not going to do any more surfing competitions where they're allowing biological men to compete against women. And this is where you have a lot to lose as an athlete speaking up in this. You're going to get ostracized by the people who disagree with you. You're ostracized by the institutions and powers that be that are connected to your sport, and the amount of hate that you get on the internet just blows my mind. When I saw Bethany Hamilton come out and say, you know what, I'm not going to compete against men anymore. That's simply a choice that I'm choosing to take on. I'm not going to compete against men. The amount of people that I saw disgustingly hopping on the internet and saying, you know, I wish the shark had killed her. Or little did we know, like, the shark that bit Bethany Hamilton was actually an LGBTQ ally, and making all these jokes about how they wish that she was dead and they wish that this shark had finished the job on her because she simply doesn't agree with the set of ideology and doesn't see the world the way that you do. Blows my mind. And you get called a TERF for advocating for women. A TERF, a new derogatory slur that gets thrown your way because you are actually upholding what many of these left-leaning people claim to value, and that is women's rights. And I want to just have you guys put your eyes on some of the stuff that was touched on in this video of what Leah Thomas is engaging in on social media. So Leah Thomas has another account that is engaging in this stuff and talking about AGP, which is that autogynephilia, which look up at your own risk what that involves as far as the communities surrounding this particular fetish will say. And just the stuff blows my mind. And Leah Thomas's partner is also having a GoFundMe to go through their very own breast augmentation for their own transition. And here are some of the photos. I believe this is what the bedroom looks like for Leah Thomas's partner. There's no way you're going to convince me this is not some sort of sexual fetish. There's no way. And if the NCAA as an institution is now somehow aware of this and has received this information and is still allowing this biological man to go within the women's locker room, there's something wrong, and something needs to be done.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Definitely, something needs to be done. And to the credit of that surfer, that female surfer who said, you know, she essentially put her foot down and was like, "No, I'm not doing this any longer." I think that's what it's going to have to take is sensible female athletes putting their foot down and saying no,
right?
It's going on strike, whatever it may be, but. To Taylor's point earlier, and using again the surfer's situation, you know, this is the issue with their ill-defined world, the woke world that it is you can't. She right there is now a disabled surfer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And within the world of intersectionality, where does that lie within the trans community, and how do you go about deciding who is more important, when, how, and in what situation?
Right.
And it's when it's one group one day and another the next, no one can move forward. Society cannot move forward toward the utopia that you yourself are even promoting. So I just think it's flying in the face of their arguments in itself. But the problem is they just can't see it. They can't help themselves. They're just like a hyper puppy that can't let loose of the toy.
I know. And I see all these women, I mean biological women, coming and advocating that Leah Thomas be allowed in the locker room and Leah Thomas be allowed to compete against women. I know people here in LA that are quite literally female, like, fitness people. They are athletes and they're advocating for this. You are quite literally bringing about your own demise, or at least the demise of something that you hold near and dear to your heart. But I guess nobody does womanhood like a man. And you know, if you can't beat the men, then don't be a man. And you go and do something else. And it's really interesting because what's going to happen and what has been happening, if we're looking at the amount of people who, you know, are maybe antisocial that are identifying as trans, or maybe who are on the spectrum that identify as trans, who maybe are gay but are now identifying as trans, it's going to become this sort of catch-all identity for people who have not yet found their place within the world and have not yet discovered where they fit in. And that's slowly but surely, actually quickly, becoming exactly what the transgender identity is, and to the complete destruction of the people who are taking on the identity, because the treatment that is being pushed on these people is not helpful. It's in fact going to create quite a bit of harm for them, and as we're seeing with these stories, the people around them. And Leah Thomas posting these pictures of, you know, being in the hospital bed, as we see here, and I believe her partner, if I can find the picture here, look, You see what your partner in that glass jar, what Leah Thomas's partner is holding, is, you know, pieces of their body that have been snipped off in surgery. And this is seen as something cool. It's glorified within these communities to have gone through this process. And, you know, even a couple years down the line, 10 years, 15 years, your entire life, you'll be dealing with the repercussions of these choices. If you guys are unfamiliar with a girl by the name of Chloe Cole, look up her story of her early transition and going through what it was a brutal period of medical intervention that she now has to live with to this very day, with all the complications, with all the lack of sexual sensory that she would have had prior to getting these surgeries done, issues with going to the bathroom. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the side effects, and more importantly, the uninformed side effects. Like, we are not getting informed consent when people are going through these things. The list goes on and on. And then what, are we going to recognize in 20 years that we just mutilated a bunch of people because it was super trendy and we thought it was the compassionate thing to do and try to work that back? You can't work it back. You can't take it back.
It just shows how backwards things get when you let the, you know, lizard brain take over and you are willing to dispense with reality because you're so emotionally invested. Like, you were recording your story with Cam Haines yesterday and talking mm-hmm. about your experience, kind of, you know, when you were a leftist activist. And I don't want to put words in your mouth so you can speak to this better than me, but just how you had this, you know, simplistic model of the world. And it's like, hey, these people are being oppressed and I want to be on their side. And I am angry at the people oppressing them. And I want to insert myself into that story. And you're emotionally charged and it blinded you to all the other surrounding facts and excluded everything but that very simplistic narrative. And you realize that, hey, I'm actually when your mind was opened and you saw, hey, I'm actually maybe harming the very people I'm trying to help or claim to be helping by advocating policies that, if you actually look at the facts of the matter, are causing harm. And I think that's what's happening here, is so many people are rallying around these trans athletes out of hopefully a genuine sense of compassion for them. But it's blinding them to the harm that they're causing to mm-hmm. women and in their the integrity of their women's sports and in what they're able to achieve with, like, setting records, with all those things, and not to mention their safety, their literal physical safety in their own locker rooms. And so it's amazing that, you know, you, in the name of protecting someone, you can actually be harming someone else. And you know, a great thing about reality is that it's real. And when you have to look at all the facts and contend with all the facts and lay them out and see what the consequences of different actions, different policies, different ideas are in the real world, then you weigh those harms and you can actually come to sensible conclusions. But whenever your emotional lizard brain is taking over and you reduce the world down to this very simplistic idea of, oh, these people are the oppressed people that I need to side with, and everyone else who doesn't agree with me is a hater, transphobe, bigot, then that's not an honest position. That's not an honest way of engaging with these issues. And it's not something that you can build a fair, healthy, functional society on that protects as many people as possible. And so, you're suppressing the harms that you're causing, and you become a villain in the story. So it's just it's amazing to see how well good intentions can cause harm in this situation.
Yeah, and it's so wild to me that the good intentions are coming from this idea that this is a marginalized group. And by every societal marker, I see little to no evidence that this is a marginalized group at all. I mean, look at the rallying and support that was put behind Leah Thomas for competing in the NCAA and completely crushing other women. Look at the support for people like Dylan Mulvaney, who, although has created an entire social career and influence with millions and millions of followers complaining about marginalization, just attended the Grammys. Look at, you know, Caitlyn Jenner being awarded Woman of the Year and things like that. And yet we are hell-bent on this idea that this is what being marginalized looks like. If this is what being marginalized looks like, sign me the hell up. I want to be marginalized. And to know the devastating effects that this sort of choice has for people and this sort of identity has for people, even for people who are truly struggling with gender dysphoria, which I fully admit does exist and needs to be explored, needs to be talked about, investigated, and treated. At the same time, you know, making these people Woman of the Year and taking them to the Grammys and sponsorships from Tampax and all these different crazy things, is this the lifestyle that you want to be promoting to other young people who maybe don't feel comfortable in their skin, who are maybe experiencing dysphoria, or who just simply don't know who they are yet as a person? Is this the route that you want to influence them down with culture? No. Absolutely not. But that's what's happening. And with this Lia Thomas story, it's like, ew, weird, look at the sexual kink. I can't believe they're into this for arousal, and this might be what's happening in the locker room. But it cannot be lost on us the influence that the internet is clearly having on this person. Because Lia Thomas went down a rabbit hole of this AGP, this autogynephilia, realized that this was a sexual fetish for themselves, and then it was constantly fed to them through Instagram, an online platform that essentially creates your very own echo chamber and feeds you the worst parts of yourself back over in loops. And if you're not mentally equipped to see through that, or, you know, have the critical thinking skills to go, okay, yeah, I understand that this is, you know, sparking something in me, but maybe it's not for me, and maybe it's not something I need to explore further. This very well could be your future, is sitting in a hospital bed with your balls being cut off.
By your own hand.
Yeah. By your own hand. Yeah. Wild. Castration.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's a confusing time to begin with, where we're, you know, breaking down what, you know, where we have a struggle to even be able to define what men and women are. And then you add on to that confusion that is infused into our culture. We're also a culture that rewards victimhood. And so where people are incentivized in the midst of this confusion to, oh, I can latch on to these different identities as I'm trying to find who I am. And we provide them a slide to go down and say, oh, you can go down the victimhood ladder just by identifying with these things. And that's why we're seeing, I think it was what, like 1 in 5 Gen Zers, or no, is it, yeah, 40%, I think, of Gen Zers are identifying as something like LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. And we see that happening. And it's no wonder, because the incentive structures are in place. We're a culture that rewards victimhood. Here's a path toward becoming a victim, no matter who you are, in the midst of all this already people feeling confused in the time that we're living in. So it's kind of no surprise that this is happening. I just hope that, you know, our feet hit the ground eventually as we're free falling down all this in this cloud, and we can start to rebuild a sense of just like who we are as people outside of just sexual identities and preferences. And that's another big part of this, is just the conflation of you can't make any argument against me, because you can't criticize me in any way, because that you're criticizing my identity, because this is who I am. And that is seen as like the cardinal sin of our culture these days. And it's kind of a cop-out. Like, no matter who you are, we have to still weigh how your behavior and how society treats you and the ideas and policies that we build around you are going to affect other people.
Right. And it's so weird, because, and now it's just like the identity is just a silencer. You throw it out and it's like, oh, excuse me, I didn't know you were trans. That means do whatever you want. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that. And there's going to come a point, hopefully, I mean, if I'm optimistic, that does not work anymore. And hopefully it doesn't work, because reasonable, rational people go, you know what? It doesn't matter who you are. That is not right. We should not be exposing young girls to that. And I'm going to say something about it. So, I mean, shout outs to the people who are actually saying something about it. Shout outs to Riley Gaines, this swimmer, who is probably risking her entire athletic career to talk about this. Shout out to J.K. Rowling, who, although is very wealthy and has a major platform, is risking a lot of that and risking her entire creative legacy to say, you know what, this is not okay. I'm going to advocate for women. I'm going to say something about it, because it's just not right. And it never has been right. And I'm just hoping we just wake up and it switches around one day.
Yeah, one day. But I was going to piggyback off what you were talking about, Taylor. You know, Jonathan Haidt always says, you know, it's so easy when these things are incentivized. It's so easy for even normal rational people to fall down that rabbit hole that you were talking about. You know, the rabbit hole of good intended, you know, good intentions, you know, and whatnot. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, as as many have said before. But with this whole culture being incentivized literally from the college campuses, those normal people who maybe feel ostracized because they don't have these issues or, you know, on the surface or have these, you know, thoughts brewing beforehand, they're going to want to be a part of this seemingly rising tide of issues and victimhood status and growing. So they're going to be the tailwind. They're going to come in and be like, oh, I have this new thing that I thought of and I didn't know I had, but I've always had it my whole life, I guess, because I only just became aware of it and all that kind of stuff. And it's just step after step after step. And I think the only way in which this stops is, you know, going to the root of it. And it's honestly at college campuses where it's just being fostered and people are being cared for in like this baby-like manner by those in charge. And, you know, until the boot drops there, I'm afraid this is probably going to continue.
Dude, and it has to drop. Like, it has to drop hard. I don't know where we shifted as a culture to where it was like, if you are, you know, feeling down about something or feeling weird about something or feeling like you don't belong, don't confront it, sit in it. Sit in it and take it on as an identity marker, and this is now who you are as a person. This discomfort that you feel is now who you are. It's not something that you overcome anymore. It's not something you challenge. It's not something you seek treatment for even, although we're claiming that that's the new revolution these days. You sit in it and it is now who you are. And I spoke about this with Cam Haynes, which that video will come out, I don't know, maybe in a few weeks, and you guys will be able to see it, and his podcast will come out shortly thereafter. But I saw a video of a girl asking the question, who are you without your problems? What is your identity without your problems? And that is a tough question to answer for most people, me included. That is a very tough question to answer, because sometimes problems arise in our lives and they might be things like gender dysphoria or feeling antisocial or feeling anxiety or depression or really anything, you name it, whatever problem you're facing right now. And we feel this need to take it in, you know, make it into a badge and slap it on ourselves and go, this is who I am now because this is what I'm facing and this is what I'm thinking about day in and day out. And you don't have to do that. You really don't. And now we're telling people that's what you must do. That's what you have to be. And in fact, that's what you are. And Leah Thomas, I'll go even further and say, is not a person who's taking a problem, slapping it on themselves and saying, this is who I am. Leah Thomas is a person taking advantage of other people who are taking advantage of other people actually experiencing gender dysphoria, turning it into a sexual fetish that is glorified by him or herself, her partner, and those around her and who are rallying behind Leah Thomas, and then going, haha, look what I did, and I'm going to take it all the way to the Olympics. But luckily, I think for now, they've said, no, you're not going to the Olympics. So, oh, goodness. Small wins.
I think there is something to be said. I totally agree with you. Is like, you know, identifying yourself based on your problems is, you know, probably a bad way to go about life. But there is something to be said, like in taking the hero's journey, you know, carrying your cross and going forth into the world and improving yourself and finding those flaws within yourself, those problems within yourself, and improving upon them and not making them you, but conquering them yourself and not letting them conquer you. I think it's just, again, goes back to the origin of this, or what seems to be the ground zero for it all is at the college campuses, is people aren't taught to face those and combat them. They're taught to face them and wallow in them.
100%. Just sit in them. Sit in them, and now that's you, and you never have to grow out of it because everybody's perfect just the way they are. And that's not to say that people aren't special and that we all don't have something unique to give to the world, but also there's room for improvement. And if there's no room for improvement or progress, then what are we doing every day? Why are we waking up? Why are we getting up out of bed? I don't know.
Right. And then just to piggyback on that, Amala, I think, you know, everyone is special and everyone does have something to contribute to the world.
Yep.
And that is why you shouldn't wallow in your problems or be so focused on your own self and your own identities and all about my feelings and how I feel and make the world should cater to me, cater to my victimhood and all that. you're selling, you're more than that. There's more inside you than that. You have something to offer the world. We used to tell people, like, you know, go make the world a better place. And the world's a better place with you in it because you have something to bring to bear inside of you. You have your unique talents. You have your unique passions. You have your unique personality. And only you can do that. And, you know, I'm feeling like Mr. Rogers over here. But that's the kind of cultural, you know, fabric that we used to have and the messaging that we used to have. And now it's like, you're you, therefore the world should just pat you on the back and cater to you and be, you know, just want to just sit by and see what you want to do and what you want to say. And we're creating a culture where we're all just like, you know, spoiled children who just expect to be waited upon by the world. And, you know, I think we're much better off saying, yeah, you know, you're you and you're unique and you're special, but the world's also not there to adapt itself to you. It you have to go out and make your way in it. And to do that, you have to be a strong, integrated, healthy, mature person who can't be beholden to all kinds of issues and can't be insular focused and always emotionally distraught about everything. And look, people go through things, like, I get it. And there are legitimate, you know, things that, hey, you have a tough hand that you're dealt, but that's part of, like Scott said, the hero's journey is learning to overcome those as best you can and still, you know, finding a way to contribute positively to the world and tell that story. Amelie, we were talking last night about just the choice to choose to do good, even if nothing, you know, even in a world of nihilism, even in a world of confusion, like the choice to do good is how you distinguish yourself. And you have to have a positive vision for your life and for what it means to act in the world and become your true self. Otherwise you're just going to sit there and, you know, expect everything to just be handed to you. Like, where's the excitement in that? Who wants to watch that movie? That's why all these woke movies are flopping, because they're all about these victim oppressed narratives and power dynamics and all this stuff. And it's like, no, that doesn't resonate with people, man. But the idea that, like, hey, I there's something inside me that I know I can become something better. I know I can contribute something to the world. And like movies that challenge us to call that forth, those resonate. And there's just some lostness about where we're at as a culture right now that is just reflected in everything. It's reflected in our movies and reflected in stories like this. And it just feels like everything that we see, we can't escape it. And I think until we can break out of this and rediscover some of that, the old wisdom that we used to have, we're just going to continue to be reporting on stupid stories like this.
Yeah, unfortunately. Oppression is not currency, and we should stop treating it like it is. That is where we're at right now. And any closing thoughts, Scott, before we get into super chats here?
I would say perceived oppression is not currency.
That's definitely true. It's all perception. Yeah. It's fabricated, guys. It truly is fabricated. And I mean, there's no greater example than the one we're talking about today, where a man will willingly take on the identity as of a woman for sexual gratification, for athletic gratification, and for just media gratification and being glorified and being told that, you know, this is beautiful, wonderful, what you're doing, in and taking joy in that and seeking power through invalidating other women and indecently exposing yourself to them and crushing their skulls, as many as those many Instagram posts showed you. That is wild. It's just wild. So yeah, we had to circle back and talk about Leah Thomas, because for me, that's a big bombshell. As Project Veritas would say, that's a bombshell. Because for so long we've been talking about it as if it's all about acceptance and being who you are. And little did we know, sexual kinks were involved, and maybe somebody's finding a little bit too much joy being in the women's locker room. Now let's get into super chats for the day. I've got four of them. Hopefully I got all of them. Caitlin Whiting, thank you so much for your super chat. Can you please react to Charlie Chon's video, What Are We Doing to White People? And his videos on Black on Asian hate crimes. Love you guys. Thank you for helping lift the veil of non-reality. I did see the thumbnail for this video, What Are We Doing to White People? And I saw it had millions of views. I have not watched the video yet, but it has been recommended to me on several occasions. So maybe I need to come and react to it on the show, and I'll have to check it out and see. But I've definitely seen it, and I will check it out per your recommendation. Thank you for your super chat. Sup My Dude says, wouldn't it be funny if Leah Thomas's original name was Thomas Leah? I forget. I think it's Will Thomas is the original name for Leah Thomas. So we had a little bit of a change there. And you know what? You can do that. You can change your name to Leah Thomas if you want to. You can start acting like a woman and dressing like a woman and changing your genitalia and go through all the surgeries so long as you're an adult. But then don't just try to like prance into the women's locker room and expose your obviously male body, your tall, what, 6'2 or 6'4? I don't know how tall Leah Thomas is. I know, but yeah, 6'4 male body to a bunch of women. Just please. Just have some boundary. Like, I'm literally saying you can be whoever you want, and everybody's saying that. It's okay. Go ahead and do whatever you want with your body so long as you're an adult. Just please, like, keep this one boundary intact for the safety of others. Jay Nash. Hey, Amala, I love your work. Huge fan. Thank you so much, Jay. Really appreciate it. Thank you for watching the show, and thank you for your super chat. And Michaela, no message, but sent in a super chat. Thank you so much. We so appreciate it. Guys.
One more just came in.
Oh.
Mattis Soren Rex says, Amala, your Discord server is a lot of fun.
Okay.
Which it is. And you guys should join Discord. That link is in the description below. We're, you know, you guys love the issues, and it's a great place to talk about them with other like-minded people. So we have all kinds of channels in there where people are debating things on voice chat, in all kinds of topics, and you can discuss what we talked about on the show today, each day. So a really great place to interact. We take show topic suggestions, guest suggestions on there too. So if you haven't joined the Discord, check it out.
Yeah. And to close out here, go follow Riley Gaines, follow J.K. Rowling, who is continuing to talk about what's happening. Oh, we got another super chat. Reason and Season. Thank you for your super chat. Love your show. I'd like to get your take on this thought. Narcissism is costly, and therefore its presence is a sign of wealth and safety. I see exactly what you're saying. You know, if you're willing to engage in that narcissistic part of yourself, then, you know, you must have a lot of wealth and safety to cushion what is the very costly act of being a narcissist. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
I think you got
roughly,
that right.
Roughly, yeah. Or you have the luxury of being a narcissist because the world around you is so great and so good and so prosperous that you can think about just yourself.
True. And true words were just written in that super chat because this is exactly what's happening. We're like in such an age of comfort that now we are exploring things that maybe we were never supposed to have the capacity to explore. Like this ain't it. This ain't where we're supposed to be as human beings.
Jail.
I don't think we were supposed to be gender bending and thinking about all this type of stuff, even though they say, you know, there's two-spirit Native Americans and all that other stuff. Pretty sure they still were not castrating themselves, but let me know if you found a tribe that was doing that.
No, there were also berserker Vikings back in the day who would take on, you know, the animalistic nature of, say, wolves or some hunting animal to go and raid towns, but that doesn't mean that they were separate entities.
Right. And now we have furries and Therians.
Yeah. Oh, just wait until someone makes... Scott, you just gave him ammo to make that connection.
Yes, you did.
Oh, no. Oh,
this is going to be the reference video for the next class. Yeah. So a couple more super chats. Blessed Butterfly Girl, thank you so much for your super chat. No message, just a little heart sticker. We appreciate you. And Michaela said, did you hear about the Scottish case of Isla Bryson, a convicted two-time rapist who declared himself a trans woman and was placed in a female prison? I did hear about that. Oh, and funnily enough, let me show you this message. This is what my boyfriend sent me, a screenshot of what he saw on Google. If you read these two headlines here, lawsuit. Female prisoner says she was raped by transgender inmates. And then below it, CNN. Trans women are still incarcerated with men, and it's putting their lives at risk. So, yeah, it's always fun. Just thought I would show you guys
That's the art of framing. You know, I see that same thing happening with the bathroom issue. It's like, well, trans women are more at risk in men's bathrooms, you know. So it's like...
Right. It's just a back and forth.
Just how you see the world is predeterminant.
Yeah. And like I said,
I have to read one more. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go for it. What do you got?
I was going to say, meme said, is Matt Walsh lookalike in a garage? I think they're talking about you, Scott.
Oh, what? What?
What? I can't confirm that he looks like, I don't know. I don't see it. Do you see it, Taylor? I just see a beard. I see two beards.
If your eyes are blurry, it could, you know, maybe.
If you have astigmatism.
I don't think so. I don't have the glasses.
Scott's like, How dare you?
I'm hurt.
And that lack of sleep anger is about to set in on you.
Yeah. I used to be Hot Scott, and now I'm Matt Walsh.
Oh, man.
He's still Hot Scott. As long as Scott wants to continue being sexually objectified on the show, we'll make it happen.
Yeah, 2023 has been wild.
It has been wild. Matt says, hey, Amla, I'm a huge fan. Thank you so much for all you do. Thank you so much, Matt. We appreciate you and for watching the show. Yeah, guys, that's our show for today. Drop in the comments down below how you feel about this whole Leah Thomas situation. I think there is an argument to be heard out about, you know, if you're a trans woman and you look exactly like a woman, like I can't tell the difference between you and Nicole Kidman or, you know, what, you know, name X woman. I could see why you wouldn't want to go to a typical male bathroom where, you know, something might go down that would be negative for you. So I am sympathetic to those arguments and ideas, and I see where people are coming from when they make those arguments. But what are your specific thoughts on the Leah Thomas situation in particular, and how does it apply? Does it change when you're thinking about other trans people? Do you have more sympathy for people who you think are actually struggling through gender dysphoria, which, it's a hot take, but I don't think Leah Thomas is. But whatever. You guys let me know what you think in the comments down below. One more super chat from Linnea Grace. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we go live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Plus, we post videos every single day. I don't know what tomorrow's subject matter is going to be. But quick shout out to Riley Gaines, the athlete who we covered in this story. Go give her a follow. Shout out to Cameron Haynes, who we filmed with yesterday in Eugene, Oregon. A day in the life, climbing mountains, doing archery, ice baths, and working out. That'll be out in a few weeks for you guys to see. But go give him some love now for having shared his life and his time with us. And again, leave a comment down below. What are your thoughts on this situation in particular? And hopefully I don't have to talk about Leah Thomas a third time, because I don't know what the news will be then. It's got to top this.
Please, God.
Please. Bye, guys. Have a great rest of your day.